Maharaj and Yashoda Mata. Similarly, Sri Baladev, the counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna, was also considered a human child born of another wife of Sri Vasudeva. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his birth and deeds are transcendental, and that anyone who is so fortunate as to know the transcendental nature of his birth and deeds will at once become liberated and eligible to return to the kingdom of God. So knowledge of the transcendental nature of the birth and deeds of Lord Sri Krishna is sufficient for liberation. In the Bhagavatam, the transcendental nature of the Lord is described in 9 cantos, and in the 10th canto his specific pastimes are taken up. All this becomes known as one's reading of this literature progresses. It is important to note here, however, that the Lord exhibited his divinity even from the lap of his mother, that his deeds are all superhuman. He lifted Govardhan Hill at the age of 7, and that all these acts definitely prove him to be actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, due to his mystic covering, he was always accepted as an ordinary human child by his so-called father and mother and other relatives. Whenever some Herculean task was performed by him, the father and mother took it otherwise, and they remained satisfied with unflinching love for their son. As such, the sages of Naimisharanya describe him as apparently resembling a human being, but actually he is the Supreme Almighty Personality of Godhead. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण इन दिस फर्स्ट चैप्टर of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, we are hearing the questions by the sages. At the same time, sages are showing us by their knowledge that all these sages are not ordinary sages. They are highly elevated sages. They know the absolute truth. They know what is good for human life, but they are so eager to hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that they are taking a lower position and inquiring from Suta Goswami about different things. In this chapter, many questions were asked. Srila Prabhupada writes that 6 questions were asked by the sages of Naimisharanya to Suta Goswami in this first chapter. And these 6 questions are the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because of these questions and these wonderful questions, Suta Goswami was inspired to narrate Srimad Bhagavatam, which he had heard from the mouth of Shukadev Goswami. So here, at the same time when they are asking the questions, at the same time they are also describing about the position of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like in this verse, they are saying, Kritvana kila karmani saharame nakeshavaha atimartyani bhagavan gurah kapatamanushaha. They are saying that although Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, saharamena keshavaha, Ramena means Lord Balaram. So although Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna, they appeared to be just normal, ordinary human beings, but they are not. They displayed their superhuman powers. Prabhupada writes in the purport that even when Lord Krishna was in the lap of the mother Yashoda, at that time also he displayed his superhuman powers, which proves that one cannot become God. God is God. No one can become God. It is not that Krishna performed some severe austerity, he went to some mystic yogi, learned some mantras, and by the power of that mantra, by the power of his yogic siddhis, by the power of his guru, or by the power of whatever he learned, he became God. As Prabhupada is writing in this purport, that by the dint of penance and austerity, one cannot become God. Nowadays it is very common that people say, yes, why can't we become God? Let's come perform austerity, very severe austerities. And if you perform very severe austerities, you will purify yourself. And once you purify yourself, you can become God. Because what is God? God is a state of purity. If God is a state of purity, then why can't we become God? Because we also can achieve that state of purity. And just by achieving the state of purity, we will become God. And that is what is being told to the people who are very new in spiritual life by those who wish to become God. I have heard a very famous person who gives lectures, and in his lectures thousands of people, they come, not like our Gokulananda temple where very few people come. Thousands of people, when he sits for giving lecture, thousands of people will come to hear him. Very famous person. And what is he propagating? He is propagating that the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who had appeared in Sati Yuga or in Treta Yuga or in Dwapar Yuga, he has appeared now in Kali Yuga in the form of this very person. And there are fools who are accepting it. Personally, I don't blame the person who claims himself to be God. Everyone wants to be the enjoyer. And if someone is claiming himself to be the God, we understand that his desire to enjoy, his desire for sense gratification has reached the highest level. So he is blinded by his desires. And that is why he is acting like that. But those who are following him, they are fools. Because if a person is claiming himself to be a god, he is a fool, definitely. But those who are following, those who are accepting this truth, or accepting this statement, I don't understand that how a person can accept another normal, ordinary, living being as God. Here in this verse, sages are saying that Lord Krishna, when he appeared here 5,000 years ago, and he was there at that time, and they are speaking after the departure of Lord Krishna, they are saying that he performed superhuman acts. That means acts which no human can perform. And what are those acts? Not that he created some gold, not that he waved his hand and that he cured someone. Superhuman acts which Prabhupada is mentioning in purports is like lifting of Govardhan Hill, killing of demons from the lap of his mother, like Putana, Shaktasur, so many demons. So this proves that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this much is not enough. We don't base our arguments only on this statement. We do have the evidences from Upanishads, from Puranas, from scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, which are in pure goodness. Even the scriptures are divided as per the modes of material nature. There are scriptures in mode of ignorance, there are scriptures for those who are in mode of passion, and there are scriptures for those people who want to elevate themselves to mode of goodness, and beyond that to mode of pure goodness. Bhagavatam is meant for people who would like to transcend the three modes of material nature. So that is why in this very first chapter, six questions were asked by the sages of Naimisharanya. The first question was, what is the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general? When sages or great personalities, Mahatmas, they perform any activity, they perform it for the welfare of the humanity. They perform for the welfare of everyone. So when they are asking the questions, they are not asking for themselves, because they know that whatever procedure or whatever activities they are doing, these activities will definitely liberate them. So that is why they are asking these questions, for those who are not involved in these kind of activities. And that's why they ask that what is the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. That means if Suta Goswami is going to narrate these things, that what is the best thing for the people in general, so everyone is going to benefit. That means this Bhagavatam is meant for everyone, not only for renounced persons, not only for say one particular community, Hindu or Muslims. It is meant for everyone, all the people. This was the first question asked by the sages of Naimisharanya. The second question they asked was, inform us about the essence of all the scriptures. Because they told Suta Goswami that you have been empowered to deliver the essence of all the scriptures from the Puranas and Upanishads. So kindly tell us, there are so many scriptures, there are so many Upanishads, there are Puranas, we all know that. And just before this, Suta Goswami is going to narrate. Before this, Romaharshan Suta, he was narrating, he was describing the glories of Puranas. He was describing about Puranas because he was empowered by Vedavyas to narrate Puranas. So he was describing. So they have heard Puranas, they have heard Upanishad. Now they want to know the essence of all this. This also shows that even after hearing Puranas, even after hearing Upanishads or the Vedic literatures, sages were not satisfied. They still wanted to hear more. And that is the reason Suta Goswami narrated Srimad Bhagavatam. As we know, Veda Vyas was not satisfied by writing Puranas and by writing Upanishad and Vedas. And then finally he narrated Srimad Bhagavatam, the glorious pastimes of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So that is why the sages are asking that let us know what is the essence of all scriptures. And third question they are asking is that tell us the purpose of Lord Shri Krishna's taking birth as son of Devaki. Why did Krishna appear as son of Devaki? So this was their third question. They wanted to know because they know, they understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he is appearing like a human being and that too from the womb of Devaki. So what is the reason? Why is he appearing? What was the cause of his appearance? That they wanted to know. So that's the third question they are asking. The fourth question they asked was about the incarnations of the Lord. They said, please narrate to us different incarnations. Why? Because different incarnations perform different pastimes. Like we hear about Lord Ram. Ram performed wonderful pastimes. Narasimha Dev performed wonderful pastimes. Varaha performed wonderful pastimes. Like that, all the incarnations performed wonderful pastimes, and just by hearing them, we get purified. In third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Maitreya Muni and Vidur they meet each other and they are discussing about the topics of Supreme Personality of Godhead, so at that time, Vidur says, Maitreya Muni, please don't stop. Go on narrating about the different incarnations of Lord. Because I just want to go on hearing. I'm not satisfied just by hearing say one or two pastimes or some incarnations or 1 hour or 2 hours. Class time is over. It's 8:30. We have to take darshan. So stop. Vidur says, I'm not satisfied. I just want to go on hearing. Because Manona Triptyatti Srinvatam Nam Sushloka Mauleshwaritam Ritani. He says that my mind is never satisfied. Manona Triptyatti Srinvatam Nam. When I hear, what do I hear? The glories of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sushloka Mauleshwaritam Ritani. So that is why. Here the sages are asking that kindly narrate the incarnations of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he says, don't just, fifth question, they say, don't just describe to us the incarnations, also describe to us the pastimes which Lord performed when he appeared as son of Devaki. This gives transcendental pleasure to all the sages. Can you imagine? Hearing about how Lord was just walking, how Lord was behaving, what was he doing in the morning, what was he doing in the evening. Just to hear this, the great sages of Naimisharanya were getting transcendental bliss. If you tell someone that there is a very great sage who has performed very severe austerity, he has left everything, he is a renounced person, and he takes pleasure in listening that how a 2-year-old boy is walking, or how a 4-year-old boy, or how a 5-year-old boy is behaving, or how is he acting with his friends, what is he doing in afternoon. So people will say he's crazy, what kind of renunciation is this? But here we see that these sages, they take pleasure in the past times and they want to hear again and again. They have already heard in Puranas. Krishna's pastimes are there in Puranas. But they would like to hear again, specifically only about Krishna. And that is why they say, kindly inform us about the pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna and his incarnations. And then finally, they are going to ask the 6th question in the last verse of this chapter. This is that now Lord Krishna, who is the master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode. Please tell us to whom the religious principles have gone for shelter. This is the 6th question they are asking. So these 6 questions they asked in this first chapter, and Suta Goswami will start answering them. In fact, he answers all of them in second chapter itself, but then to describe in detail, he speaks about Srimad Bhagavatam. So here in this verse, which is describing the glories of Lord Krishna, saying that how, although he appears like a human being, but he performs superhuman act. We also see in this world, if somebody is able to perform some superhuman act, we consider him to be the Lord, but they are not actually superhuman acts. I remember long back there was a movie called Superman, and here this hero of this movie used to perform some acts like flying, and he can do anything. He is Superman. But there it was shown that he used to get his powers from somewhere. And as far as I remember, I faintly remember that he used to get his powers from somewhere, and then once he lost that thing, so he lost all his powers and he became a normal, ordinary man. And he was in some restaurant and he was hit by some people there, and he could not do anything because he had lost his powers, although he was Superman. So similarly, people think that Krishna also is one of that kind. He has got his powers from somewhere. There is someone somewhere, or some power, some energy, which is empowering Krishna to perform these kinds of superhuman acts. So that is why they think that since there is a power higher than Krishna, which gives power to Krishna, why should we worship Krishna? We will also worship that higher power, and then we can also become like Krishna. So everyone wants to become Lord. Even when Lord was here, that time also there was a person called Pondrak. He also wanted to become Krishna. It's not that now people want to become, at that time also. And he claimed that I am the actual Vasudeva. This Vasudev is not the real Vasudev. And he also had some 2 imitation hands. And he went to fight with Krishna. So now also we see that there are people who claim themselves to be God or Superman or so-called. Because they think that Krishna, since he was performing some ordinary pastimes, he was an ordinary person. But Acharya has explained in a very wonderful verse that although Krishna was performing or was looking like a normal ordinary child, he was not. They say, Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kansachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadguru. This is that the same person whom we just think that he is son of Vasudeva Sutam, but he is Devam, he is the Lord. Although he performs some acts like Kansa Chanur Mardanam. He fights with Chanur, he fights with Kansa, he kills Kansa. So it seems like he is a normal, ordinary person who has some great powers and he is able to fight with people. But, and also he appears as a normal person, normal, ordinary boy from the womb of Devaki, and gives pleasure to Devaki, Devaki Paramanandam. But here the word used is Paramanandam. Doesn't give just the ananda, Paramananda. That is a transcendental pleasure. But he is Krishnam Vande Jagatkurum. He is the spiritual master, he is guru for everyone. He is the source of everything. And this is not just a statement given anywhere in the Puranas. This is confirmed by higher authorities. This is confirmed by Mahajanas. This is confirmed everywhere. All the scriptures are talking about it. Even when in Mahabharata we see that Bhishma, at the time of performing the sacrifice, when Yudhishthira was performing the sacrifice, and Krishna was invited to do Agra Puja. There were people who objected. How can Krishna be called for Agra Puja? Agra Puja is done in a sacrifice to honor the person who is capable, who is qualified to receive that honor. And when it was decided that Krishna will get that honor, there were people who were objecting. But at that time, Bhishma says that this person, this personality who is standing in front of us, Krishna, he is not to be just worshipped by us, he is to be worshipped by all the three worlds, because he is the supreme personality of Godhead. This is confirmed by Bhishma, who is one of the Mahajans, one of the 12 Mahajans mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhishma says, yes, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. So everyone should worship. And we also see that he did perform, even at that time, acts which are not possible for any human being. Let's take the incident of Draupadi. We all know how Draupadi was trying to save herself. She was pulled by Dushasan into that assembly of Kauravas, and she was trying to save herself. Nothing worked out. She went to her elders, they could not do anything. She went to her husbands, they could not do anything. No one was able to help her. And in this helpless condition, she called out for Krishna. The other day we were singing a very beautiful bhajan by Bilwa Mangal Thakur, where this incident was depicted. Agre Kuru Naam Yatha Pandavanam. Where they say that first she went to Kurus, then she went to Pandavas. Dushyasane Narita Vastra Keshaha. And Dushyasan was pulling her Vastra, her Keshaha, her hairs and her robes. But then what did she do finally? She had no other alternative. She went to everyone. Agre Kuru Naam Yatha Pandavanam. Dushyasane Narita Vastra Keshaha. And then what did she do finally? She chanted the name. Govinda Damodara Madhavati. So she chanted these names. She called out to Lord Krishna. And there he was. Although he was not visible, he was not present there physically in front of all others, but still he saved her. So this incident, we can see that how Krishna was helping the devotees. So all the people, even Kunti, Markandeya Rishi and other great sages, it's mentioned in Mahabharata, that they all confirmed that Krishna is the supreme personality of God. Now Markandeya Rishi, he has seen the Lord on a palm leaf. We all know that story. You have seen that picture? A very small child with his seen Prabhu? On a palm leaf, sucking his thumb. It's like a small child. So Markandeya Rishi, he has seen him. And he says in Mahabharata, it is mentioned, that this Krishna, who is standing in front of us, he is the same Narayan, the original Narayan, the source of Narayan, who is standing in front of us. And above all, Vedavyas confirms this to Arjuna. He tells Arjuna that, Arjun, the person who was sitting on your chariot, he is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you are fortunate that he was sitting on your chariot. Don't consider him as an ordinary human being. And Vedavyas, he is the compiler of all the Vedas. He has given us Upanishads. He has given us all the Puranas. And he says that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there are people who give evidences from the scriptures which are written by Vyasadeva and says that Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas Vedavyas himself says that yes, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavatam, every page of Bhagavatam says, which is compiled by Vedavyas, which is the essence of all scriptures, which says Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But why we are not able to understand? Why are we not taking the shelter of Lord Krishna? What is the reason? What is stopping us? We were just discussing the incident of Draupadi. What happened to Draupadi? As we discussed, Draupadi, unless she called out to Krishna in a helpless manner, Krishna did not help her. In fact, it is also mentioned that after this incident, when she met Krishna, she inquired from Krishna. She told that, you know, when all these things were happening, why you did not help me? When Dushyasan came to my room and he was trying to pull me out, why you did not help me? And all other things happened, I was pulled in the assembly, I was crying out, I was asking everyone for help. Why you didn't help me at that time? And Krishna said, when Dushyasan was pulling your hair, what were you thinking? She said, I was thinking about how I can save myself. Then what happened when Dushyasan was trying to pull your sari? I was trying to catch my sari. I was trying to save myself. And Krishna says, you never remembered me. You were all the time trying to save yourself by your own powers. But the moment you called out to me, I came. So let's try to understand this situation symbolically. Of course, we are just trying to place ourselves in that position. Let's say Draupadi is like the soul, Jivatma. Now this Jivatma soul is wedded to five senses, right? We do have five senses, all of us know, like five wives. Always this example is given that the person who is a slave for the senses is like a person who is wedded to five wives. And these five wives keep pulling him in different directions, because every one of them wants to be satisfied at a time. And it is not possible for a husband to satisfy all the five wives at a time, give them whatever they want. Somebody wants some wife, wants necklace, sari, this and that. So, similarly, let's try the situation we are trying, where Draupadi was, we are trying to understand. So Draupadi is like soul, Jivatma, wedded to five senses. And these five senses, these five Pandavas were there. And then, of course, in that assembly, we say that that whole area, that assembly, was ruled by a blind person. And we are ruled by our blind ego, false ego. Because it is blind. That is why it is not the ego is not able to see, not able to perceive the actual real position of soul. So this blind ruler, because ego is the ruler. When we read in Srimad Bhagavatam about the process of creation, we see the first thing which appears is ego. And then all other things are coming. The first is ego. And this is the last thing which goes out when we are going ahead in our journey back home, back to Godhead. This ego is the last thing to go. So this is the blind ruler of our body, of our kingdom. So Draupadi is Jivatma here. We are just trying to place our position. It is not that this only is a fact. Not that this Mahabharata never happened. Of course it happened, it's in history. But we are just trying to understand symbolically that how we are also entangled. We are also in position of Draupadi. So then it is being ruled by a blind ruler, that is the ego. Then we have lust, we have greed. Now who was the greedy person? Duryodhan. He was not ready to leave his kingdom, did not want to give an inch of it. And then lust is represented by Dushasan, who was trying to disrobe Draupadi, overcome by lust. And then Karna, who made a lot of statements during that incident, he is compared to infatuation, which generally develops and which is the cause of our bondage in this material world. So Karna is considered as infatuation. And Karna's position is really, the other day we were discussing in Bhagavatam class, that how Karna, although he is considered to be a very great hero by many people, but how he was the cause of his own destruction. Because Karna did not follow Dharma. When in the end the battle was there and it was the 17th day, battle went on for 18 days, the Kurukshetra battle between Kauravas and Pandavas. And on the 17th day, when Karna was to be killed, it so happened, we all know, that because of the curse, when he was fighting, and he was a very great fighter in fact, then he lost at the time his wheel of his chariot got stuck. And then he had to come down. And he was holding the reins of the horses by one hand and trying to take out the wheel from the other hand. And he requested Arjuna, not requested, rather he was telling about the dharma. He was preaching to Arjuna the real dharma. And he was telling, Karna was telling Arjuna, as a warrior, your dharma is to wait right now because I am not able to fight. These are the rules of the war. Actually, they are the rules. As per the rules of the war, which were decided in the beginning of the war, that if a person is not having any arms, weapons in his hand, the other person will not kill him. He will wait till he gets another weapon and then they will fight. Or the person who is in such a state like Karna, the other person will not attack him. These were the rules which were made in the beginning, on the first day, before the battle started. So Karna was explaining to Arjuna, see, it is your dharma, you are a kshatriya, and as per your dharma, you should not kill me, and you stop, you wait for me. Arjuna was not ready to answer. Arjuna did not answer, but he stopped, because he was not ready to go against dharma. But Krishna answered him. Krishna answered Karna. And Krishna inquired. Krishna asked. Krishna said, now you are talking about dharma because you are in distress, you are in trouble. And that is the reason you are talking about dharma. Where was your dharma when Draupadi was being disrobed? You were the one who told Duryodhan to bring Draupadi. You were the one who first told Draupadi that you are wedded to 5 persons who have lost you. Now you choose another person, one amongst us, as a husband. You were the one who called Draupadi as prostitute. Where was your dharma at that time? Were you following dharma? Karna did many things. And then Lord Krishna told him about Abhimanyu. He said, where was the dharma of war? Where were the rules of war? When all of you together were killing just one boy, very young boy, Abhimanyu was very young. Where was your dharma at that time? Did you forget that? So Karna was ashamed. He could not answer because he did things like that. And not only that, Krishna reminded him that you were the one who sent Pandavas to the forest. You were the one who came to the forest to show your opulence. When Pandavas were staying in the forest, it was Karna who told Duryodhan, let's go to the forest and show our opulence because they don't have any opulence. So Duryodhan went to Dhritarashtra and said that I want to go there to count the cows, number of cows, how many cows we have. So that was agreed. And then they came there, they came with all, everything, with all opulent things, just to show Pandavas, because Pandavas were staying very near to that place. So Krishna was reminding him all this. You were the one who planned for Lakshagraha. You know, there was a palace made for Pandavas, and there they were plotting that they can kill all the Pandavas. You were the one. And now, after doing all this, at this time, you are talking of dharma, religion. And Karna was ashamed. He could not say anything. And then at that time, he again went to his chariot and he wanted to hit Arjuna, but he could not do so. And then Lord Krishna instructed Arjuna that this is the time you should kill Karna. Arjuna was not ready. But then it was Krishna's instruction, and Karna was trying to remember his mantras which he had learned from his spiritual master by cheating his spiritual master, Parshuram. And he was trying to remember, but he could not remember. And that was the time when Arjuna killed him. So this why I said, was the people remember dharma at the time when they are in distress, they are in difficulty. But when it is the actual time for them to follow, they don't follow. Even while dying, Karna did not accept that he was not following dharma. Karna says, while leaving his body, that we have heard from people that it is dharma which protects everyone. And we were the one who were following dharma. Just imagine. Karna is saying that we were the one who were following dharma. So what was dharma according to him? Performing some sandhya vandan 3 times a day, giving charity, honoring brahmanas. This was his dharma. And he was doing it. He was perfect in that. But that's not the actual dharma. Bhagavatam says, dharma means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So one who pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the one who is following the dharma. And that was Arjuna, not Karna. But Karna, while leaving his body, he is saying that I had heard that dharma is one which protects everyone. And here I am seeing that because of dharma, I am being killed. Because I am following dharma, I am being killed. That means even at that time, he was not convinced that he is suffering due to his own deeds. This was his position. So this is what happens. So anyway, we were trying to correlate the incidents with Draupadi. So Karna is kind of a representation of infatuation. So in this position, when a soul is trapped, wedded to five senses, which are trying to pull the soul in different directions, always trying to encourage the soul to enjoy this material world, and that is what happens. All our five senses are always trying to enjoy this material world. Sometimes people say that when we do wrong activities, if Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why is he not stopping us? Or why is he not giving us good intelligence to understand what is wrong and what is right, and then we perform only the right thing? Satisfaction. But ultimately, the satisfaction comes when soul helplessly cries out to the Krishna, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Draupadi did. And then she was saved. Krishna immediately came. Krishna says, promises in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham aham samuddharta mrityu samsara sagarat bhavami nachirat partha maya veshita chetasa. I will come immediately. Just call me. Krishna is ready. We are not ready for Krishna. That is our problem. Many times we say, you know, oh, attaining God is, it's not our job. No, why not? Just we have to make ourselves ready for Krishna. Krishna is always ready for us. In Sunday lectures, we are describing about Brihad Bhagavatamritam. And there, we will see that how Krishna is hankering for our association. How much he wants us to be there in the spiritual world. We feel that Krishna is enjoying, he has forgotten us. Even if he is there, he is in his own world, we are in our own world. But no, that's not the case. Krishna always wants us to come back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. And we'll come to know by that story of Brihad Bhagavatamritam of Gopakumar, which we are describing every Sunday now, that how unless the soul reaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, soul cannot be satisfied. So unless we call out to Krishna like Draupadi did, called out Govinda, and then the soul can be satisfied. And that's the only way. Money cannot make you happy. There was one person in America, very famous person, very rich person, and he had a son. He sent his son to a country away from him, where he was to study about man-eaters. His son went there to study about man-eaters, how they stay, how they behave. And it was in deep in jungles. And after some days, he got the news that the object of his studies finished, along with the studies, they finished the object also. Because they were man-eaters, so they ate that person also who had gone there for studying. Because they were man-eaters, so they ate him. And when he got this news, he was so shocked. He was very rich, very powerful. But then he gave a statement. The statement was broadcasted all over America because he was very famous and very rich person. He said, by my all powers, whatever I have now, and whatever money I have now, power and money, I know that throughout my life now, I will never be happy. So this money does not make you happy. Person may be very rich. There was a rock star, very famous rock star in 1960s and 70s, very famous. But he was always fearful because whenever he was going to give a performance, he used to be fearful. that if he's not able to perform nicely, what will people do? I will lose my reputation. I will lose everything. So even he was on a very high stage, he is very famous, but always fearful. So what is the use of such fame? What is the use of money which cannot give you satisfaction? So it's a very, very clear fact that we understand by reading scriptures is that money, fame cannot give us happiness. Nothing of this material world can give us happiness. And the reason Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, he says that this world is a shashvatam. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. When this ashashvat world, when this temporary world or temporary matter comes in contact with something which is eternal, there is always an incompatibility and the miseries. Because eternal can take happiness only in eternal. Eternal can never be happy with temporary things. For example, a living being can never be happy with just dead matters. Say someone is hankering for money, and if he gets crores of rupees, you give crores of rupees to one person and lock him with that rupee or with that money in a room. Do you think this person will enjoy? He's locked in a room with crores of rupees. What will be the enjoyment for him? To enjoy, he needs another living being. He needs some relationships. He needs to express his feelings. With that money, if he goes out, if he has some of his friends or other people, his family, then he can enjoy. On a material level, I'm talking. Then he can enjoy. But just you lock him with the money, he'll not enjoy, because money is dead matter. So this temporary things, this ashashvat things will not give happiness to something which is shashvat, which is eternal. Shashvat or eternal can get happiness only with eternal. And in this world, there are only three things which are eternal. One is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Another are the devotees. And the third, the relation between the devotees and the Lord, or the procedure to revive that thing, is bhakti. So Lord, devotees, and devotional service. These are the only three things which are eternal. Can you think of any other eternal thing in this material world? Nothing is eternal. Anything which we think also comes into these three things, that's all. Lord, devotees, and the devotional service. Rest all will be finished. Maybe when your body is finished, or maybe when we speak of demigods, they are going to remain. Like once somebody asked Prabhupada that when this Kali Yuga is going on, what is the effect of this Kali Yuga to the demigods? Because as per our timings or our years, they live very long life. So what is the effect of this Kali Yuga on the demigods? Prabhupada says it's just like a black cloud passing. That means they are not much affected. But still, there will be a time where they will be affected. They will also have to leave their body. They will also have to come down again to this material world. A brahma bhuvana loka punaravartino arjuna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that even if you go to brahma loka, which is the highest planet on this material world, A brahma bhuvana loka punaravartino arjuna, you will have to come back again. Why you have to come back? Why you can't stay there? Because there you have limitations. You perform some austerities on this material world, on this earth, and go there, enjoy, and then come back again as soon as your piety or pious results are over. You have to come back again to this material world. So then what is the use? This is all temporary. Soul will never be happy. Whether it goes to Swarg Loka or Janaloka or Maharloka or Tapaloka or Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, any loka, soul will never be happy. So that is why unless we surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we understand that these three things are only eternal and we can achieve these three things by three things. These three eternal things can be achieved by three things which help us. One is, of course, like this material world is compared to an ocean of material existence. So to cross an ocean, you need a boat, you need a captain of the boat, and you need favorable wind. Three things. Then you can cross the ocean. So this material world is like an ocean, and this human body is like a boat in which you require an expert captain. And Bhagavatam explains that expert captain is Guru, the spiritual master. And the favorable winds are the instructions given in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So if we make use of these three things, we can achieve the three eternal things, that is the Lord, the devotion service, and the devotees. And by achieving these eternal things, the eternal soul will always be happy. Prabhupada says that is the real dharma. As I said, because people are ignorant of real dharma, they consider anyone as Lord. Prabhupada says this is real dharma in Bhagavad Gita, in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada explains that what is eternal dharma, what is sanatan dharma. He says that it is the eternal relationship between eternal soul and eternal God in eternal sky. Because our relationship is eternal, Lord is eternal, we are eternal, and the place where we exchange this love between us and the God is also eternal. And that is the real eternal dharma called Sanatan Dharma, which we have to revive. So once we understand what is dharma, it will be very easy for us to understand Kritvana Kila Karmani Saharamena Keshavaha, that why Lord appears here and acts like a human being. There are many reasons. One of the reasons for him to come is that by hearing his pastime, we can purify ourselves. Anugrahaya Bhaktana Manusham Deham Astitaha. Lord Krishna comes into this material world, accepts a body, in the sense, displays a body. We should not say accept a body, because Krishna never accepts a body. He displays a form, different forms, like form of Narsingha, Ram, he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he displays all these forms and performs the pastime, so that when we hear these pastimes, we can purify ourselves. And this is his anugraha. Anugrahaya Bhaktana. This is his mercy that he is performing these pastimes by which we can purify ourselves and go back home, back to Godhead. So here the same thing is being said, that Personality of Godhead, he performs many pastimes. Now, Prabhupada is explaining in this purport that anyone who is fortunate to know the birth and the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna can liberate himself. Just by knowing, just understand that these activities are transcendental. Just one thing. Then there will be no question in our mind. Many time people question, why did Krishna marry 16,108 wives? Why did Krishna perform Rasa Leela? Why did Krishna do this? Why that? Why all the war? I was asked one question. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could have purified everyone just like that only. Why there was a need to kill everyone in the battlefield of Kurukshetra? That's a good question, yeah? Because whenever somebody asks us this question, that why this war, why was this war, Kurukshetra battle, we say it was for the liberation of all those who were there, because they were all liberated, Prabhupada says. All were liberated because when they left their body, they could see Krishna in front of them. So they were all liberated. So then naturally we say to liberate themselves. So there was one question asked, if it was only for their liberation, Krishna could have done just like that. What was the need for this bloody war? So much blood everywhere. If we understand, janma karma cha me divyam, my activities are transcendental. And on a transcendental plane, very easily we can understand his activities. There will be no questions. Of course, now we get a lot of doubts. Doubts are a good sign if we just want to progress. If our goal, if our aim is to attain pure devotion, then our doubts, our questions are going to help us. But if our intention is something else, we are trying to find faults, we are trying to challenge the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and for that reason we are asking the questions, then it's not going to help us. Because we will never accept what is mentioned in the scriptures. Once one boy was asking me, why should I accept Vedas? All the time, whatever you say, you quote from some Shastra. You say, this is written here, this is written there. Why should I accept them? What are Vedas? Written by some person called Vyasadeva. What is the need? So people cannot accept. Prabhupada explains that unless you follow the regulative principles of devotional service, your mind will not be ready to accept the spiritual knowledge. You see, why people who come into devotional life, say who come into ISKCON, let's take for a practical example. Those who come to ISKCON, very soon, after some time only, they start accepting the facts of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita very easily. Why? What is the reason? One, of course, is the association. Because they get association and they get inspired. The other, because they follow some rules and regulations, because they follow the regulative principles of devotional service, their mind is ready to accept this transcendental knowledge. Prabhupada says that our tissues of our brains have to be sharpened. And once they are sharpened, then the transcendental knowledge easily is digested or accepted. So it becomes very difficult for a person, you just go outside, who is not at all following principles, who is not into devotional service, who is not into association, and you go and tell him that the goal of human life is to serve Krishna. He will say, yes, thank you very much, I have to serve many other people, so kindly I'll take your leave. He's not ready to understand. But here, when we follow the principle, see the difference. You yourself can see. Say, when we were not following the principles and now we are following the principle, what is the difference? Many times people ask, I don't find any difference in myself. I have been chanting for so long, I have been hearing, but I don't find any difference in me. The difference is that we are very easily accept, because our mind is ready to accept such things. Otherwise, we will always find fault, and we ourselves would like to become God. So that is the point Prabhupada is mentioning here. And then he says, it is important to note here, however, that the Lord exhibited his divinity even from the lap of his mother. As I was saying, that Krishna did not become God. He is God. He need not become God. As person says, why we can't become God? You give them any reason, they say, no, why we can't? We perform austerity because in their mind there is only one thing. Purify yourself, and a purified state is God. Nothing else. God is not a person. Don't think that God is a person. A state, but God means there is a state. If you reach that state, that is God. I have read this myself personally. Somebody gave me a book. It was written by a very great person. And he was asked this question, who is God? And he was not able to answer directly. As you know, Prabhupada many times says, just call some small child and ask, who is God? He says, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is God. Very simple. I remember one incident when one very learned person of Vedas came to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada asked him this question, who is God? And he was thinking, oh, Prabhupada is asking this question. So I must go deep into the Vedas and Upanishads and try to answer him, you know, from there, take out some very critical words, and somehow I should answer him. And he was thinking, and then he started, well, Upanishad says like this, and Puranas, Prabhupada said, just wait. He called a small child, and so who is God? He said, Krishna is the God. Krishna is Supreme Personality. Prabhupada says, she knows better than you. What is the use of your studying scriptures? You are not able to say who is God. You should be ready with the answer. You have read Vedas. You should immediately say, yes, he is God. So that is why when we go into the scriptures, and as Prabhupada is saying here, that scriptures, we should not try to find answers which suits us as we want. Bhagavad Gita is not as we want. Bhagavad Gita is as it is. But we make it as we want. So we try to find verses, we try to quote verses. See, Krishna is telling here. There are people who will quote verses from Vedas, from Bhagavad Gita, from Bhagavatam, and they will prove that Krishna does not, Lord does not have any form. There is no form for the Lord. So purify yourself and you will also become God. And what is the procedure of purification? Perform severe austerity. Like there are people who won't shave their heads. They are sannyasis. They won't shave their head. They will pluck out the hairs. You know how much pain it is to pluck out the hairs? They will do it. Why? Because we are performing austerities. They will not take any vehicle. They will walk. Why? Because we want to perform austerities. These ISKCON people, they are all enjoying. They take vehicles and they have all the modern things. We are not taking anything. We are performing austerities. What is the use of such austerities? Narad Muni says that if you are performing austerity and if there is no hari, what is the use of your austerity? Narad yadi harim tapasah tatakim. If you are not worshipping Lord Hari by your tapasya, what is the use of your tapasya? So that is why these people, they claim that by performing severe austerities, purify, and they perform. That is why we see such people are engaged in welfare activities. Lot of welfare activities they will do for the society because they feel this is for the purification. The benefit which I will get will purify me and one day I will become God. My photo will be there in some of the temples and people will be worshipping me. Actually, we should ask one question to them. Suppose you become God, what will be the benefit? Only thing is your photo will be worshipped in one of the temples. What will you gain? Obviously, people will understand, those who really know the essence of scriptures, that you will be suffering in somewhere in the hell. And people, even though if they consider you God, they will be worshipping you. What is the use? What I have seen in such places, there is only photos they worship. There is no deity as such. So I was wondering that ultimately by performing severe austerity, what they get finally is that they are worshipped and just some photo is being worshipped. That's all. So it is better to enjoy in this material world rather than go into the hell and then your photo is being worshipped. Prabhupada was asked one this question, that what is the purpose of human life? So what do you think Prabhupada would have said? What will I say, or what will anyone in ISKCON say? If somebody asks you, what is the purpose of human life? And his Prabhupada is answering, so his answer will be perfect. Now what was his answer? He said, the purpose of human life is to enjoy. Everyone was shocked. If the purpose of human life is to enjoy, why you are telling don't drink, don't smoke, and don't eat, and do this, and don't do this? Just enjoy. Prabhupada said, yes. The purpose of human life is to enjoy, but the real enjoyment. What we are doing right now is we are into an artificial lifestyle. All of us. You go out in the material world. Everyone is into artificial lifestyle. They are not they are not in reality, they are not very near to the reality also. And this artificial, destructive lifestyle is causing more and more bondage in this material world. No one is happy. In fact, before I came to devotional service, I didn't know this fact. After coming to devotional service, I am experiencing this fact that no one is happy. It's a pity, but yes, that's a fact. You know, after I have come into this devotional service, I have realized that how much people are suffering. Before that, I was thinking, everyone, this person is happy, that person is happy, see, such a good life, he is this, he is that, you know. After coming in proper devotional service, I have understood that how much people are suffering. No one is happy. When Prabhupada used to say this, no one is happy, sometimes I used to take why Prabhupada is saying there are so many people who are happy. Maybe 70-80% are not happy, but 10-20 are happy. But this is a fact. No one is happy. Everyone is suffering. And just because of their outer covering and artificial lifestyle, they show off just to be happy. That smiling, that plastic smile is there on their faces. You know that plastic smile when you go to, when you're boarding an airplane or you are coming out of the airplane, and there will be an air hostess standing with folded hand, welcome sir, you know, and with a very nice smile. She may have fought at home or whatever, she may not have got the salary raise, she may have fought with the boss or whatever, but there she has to stand there with a plastic smile, welcome sir, thank you for flying with us, you know. So this is what is artificial lifestyle right now, everywhere. And when they come in contact with nature, when the soul comes in contact with nature, they feel happy. I have heard in Western countries, now there are places, they are specially making places where there is no modern facility. And people are paying $3,000 per night just to stay there. Can you imagine? With no modern facility, no electricity, no vehicles, no modern gadgets, and they're specially making those places there, and people are going there and paying $2,000 to $3,000 per night just to stay, just to be in touch with nature. So this is just to prove that soul can never be happy in an artificial atmosphere. It will always be happy where Lord Krishna is there. So always consider this, that soul is like Draupadi, and unless we call out to Krishna, we can never be happy, we can never be satisfied, and we can never be saved from this material world. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So now all of us will call out to Krishna and try to tell him that we are also in the same position. Kindly come and help us.
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Ram, Ram, Hare 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 Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol Nittai Gaur Hari Bol.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna.